How do you understand your employer brand? You can aim to win awards. You can launch a new career site. You can activate beautiful campaigns. You can spend a ton of money on making everything shiny. But how do you measure how you're actually performing in the eyes of your candidates, employees, and alumni? We have developed the Employer Brand Index to help practitioners understand their company's reputation as an employer. It gives you a quantitative and qualitative understanding of what talent thinks, presented in an easily understandable score and actionable report. Learn more at employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, son, Sveisan, it's Jorgen Sandberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, fine purveyors of data-driven employer brand insights. This week, we are going to look at building a brand advocacy program. So for those of you who are looking or perhaps have already started dipping your toes into employee advocacy, we are going to talk about, first of all, why you want to do this, why it might be useful, what some of the benefits are, and then also how to go about building it out in terms of nomination, building out training, tools, engagement, and looking at the content. Where do you get content from? Who do you involve with the content creation process, and as well rolling it out across different departments and measuring the results. So we got a fairly tall order here. I'm gonna stop talking now and let's start the show. Hey Brianna, welcome to the podcast.
Hey Jorgen, thanks for having me.
Now please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Absolutely. Hey, everyone. My name is Brianna Doherty, and I am an employment brand strategist for Cox Enterprises. And honestly, I'm just happy to be here and tell you guys a little bit more about what I do and, of course, what Cox is.
Yes, absolutely. Now, a pleasure to have you on here. So let's start with what is Cox and also where are you at with employer brand?
Yeah, sure. So Cox Enterprises is a global organization of about 55,000 or so employees. And our biggest purpose is, of course, empowering the next generation and empowering our people to connectivity, mobility, and sustainability. So that's a fancy way of saying that we, through our divisions and our businesses like Cox Automotive, we are powering the next utility of cars and automobiles and how we bring software services to them. With connectivity, Cox Communications is our division that supports putting people together when they can't be face-to-face. So think Wi-Fi, home internet, think security, think empowering the homes with smart homes and connectivity there. And then, of course, sustainability is a huge pillar at Cox, and we invest in the future of technology and sustainability and powering conservation methods throughout the world. So that's kind of a quick nutshell about who is Cox. Yep. And as far as employment branding, we're in an incredible spot today, and it didn't come overnight. It started a couple years ago where the team got together and we were able to come up with what is our purpose and what is the employer value proposition where candidates would be excited to join us. And the biggest thing that we've been able to position is that you can make your mark at Cox. And it's because we have a breadth of companies underneath us. So I would say our employer brand today is evolved and a little bit more mature, and I'm proud to stand behind it.
Fantastic. And we should give a shout out to Adam Glassman, who was on this podcast a couple of years ago, who was on the team as well.
Yes. Hey, Adam.
Right. So today we want to chat about building a brand advocacy program. So I'd like to start with, first of all, what is it and why should our listeners consider it? Why would it be useful to their organizations?
Brand advocacy at its very foundation, it's about how people are talking about the company. How are you mobilizing your employees, for example, to be encouraged in representing the brand? That's how I have pretty much formulated the definition of advocacy. It's how are you talking about the brand?
What is the benefit to Cox from having people advocating it? Well, I think I know the answer, but I'll let you.
Yeah. So, you know, we started a couple years ago with actually a foundation where we tapped our recruiters first and foremost to be mm-hmm. the face or the brand advocates of the company. They were already interviewing candidates, already connecting with people externally. And so the recruiters were definitely a good starting point for us. However, now we've built and evolved that program to include employees across all of our divisions. We learned a lot of different lessons from the recruiters, for example, before we were able to launch cross-divisionally. And some of those lessons included tools that we could be using better to help share more content. And another lesson was just maximizing the brand in different ways and giving a first look, if you say, to the advocates. And so today we're at a place where it's cross-divisional. So you have advocates from Cox Communications division that I mentioned earlier and Cox Automotive. Mm-hmm. And you really see the power of Cox come out of those stories across the divisions because everyone's sharing their unique perspective based on the division they work for and the work that they're doing. Yeah, it's awesome.
First of all, I'd like to understand the nomination process. So how do you select your first users? You mentioned recruiters there. I think they're obvious people are out there and very front of house. Who were the next layer of people?
Recruiters we had first and foremost, and then we tapped into some of the employee resource groups. I know a lot of companies call them maybe business resource groups. Those are probably the most active people behind the recruiters with representing the brand internally and raising their hand, you know, for leadership opportunities. And then we tapped into nominations across the divisions from leaders who have seen employees raise their hand for even volunteer efforts. So, for example, our company has active, what we like to call Cox Conserves or Team Cox, which is basically those folks who love to give back in the community. So we tapped those groups first and were able to get an overwhelming response of names and, of course, email addresses, and were able to put together an open house, if you will, or an informational meeting to talk about the program. And for those interested, there was an application.
How do you position it with them? Do you say that this is kind of an opportunity for you to upskill and perhaps build your personal brand?
Yes, absolutely. So when we were giving the selling point of why they should join this program, we led with the fact that you would be representing the Cox brand, which a lot of them were already excited, right? But we also gave them the opportunity to have different trainings. And again, these would be exclusive trainings that you wouldn't otherwise have access to. So for example, we had a guest speaker internally come to talk to the group about their personal brand and how they were able to successfully position themselves for career opportunities. And it was a humbling opportunity for the brand advocates to be a part of and also be encouraged by those stories. And so again, we positioned the trainings would be unique to them, as well as building their personal brand. So giving them tools and tricks to kind of update their LinkedIn profile and make it, you know, most aesthetically pleasing, as well as telling their story too. So they were really excited about that. I would say the other thing that was a selling point as well was just exclusivity to events. So at Cox, we try to have employee engagement events or, you know, external guest speakers that come on campus. Of course, COVID has impacted that this year, but earlier in the year, they would get exclusive sneak peeks to talk to just different leaders in technology and in marketing. And I know that's been a huge selling point for them.
Okay. About addressing difficult times. Mm-hmm. So I know that sometimes posting on social on behalf of a company or using company hashtag and so on, they have to be very careful. And sometimes they might stop them from actually, you know, feeling like they can be themselves. So how do you train people, I suppose, on addressing difficult topics?
We had basically a touch point right before COVID happened, for example, that talked about the best ways to maximize your content when you're posting online. And one of the questions that came up was, how do I kind of bolster my content and get views? And so we talked about using different hashtags and those things, but now with COVID, our direction has taken a little bit of a twist, just because we know that there's an opportunity to tell the story about themselves and how they have adjusted to to the, you know, the virtual working, for example. So one of the ways that we encourage them to share their stories and, of course, relate it to the Cox brand is to be authentic on LinkedIn, for example, or on Twitter, and talk about how the company is empowering employees to be safe during these times, or to be at home, or we understand if your kid pops into a meeting while you're on a conference call, you can share that story authentically, you know, using our branded hashtag, which is Life at Cox, hashtag Life at Cox, or hashtag Make Your Mark. And that would generate buzz for them as their personal brand, as well as for the company, because they're sharing their authenticity of how they're, you know, adjusting to these times. And so the advocates have really taken that pledge and taken that charge. And it's been really awesome to see the stories that come out of that.
Right. So let's discuss building out content, because all these ambassadors and advocates, they're going to need something to share. And also, what sort of resources you pull together for these people on the program?
We use a tool. It's actually driven by Dynamic Signal, but we use a tool to push out different pieces of content for the advocates to share. And our biggest opportunity for content is those cultural pieces or culture stories about the company, in addition to content that's specific to our talent segments. So for example, some of the cultural pieces has been, you know, Cox was awarded Diversity Inc., making the top companies list for diversity, or we were also nominated making the list for the top companies in America for Forbes, you know, with diversity there. So those are really unique articles and unique pieces of content to share about the culture. And we want the advocates to talk about that. So we would push it out through the Dynamic Signal tool. And then from the talent segment portions, our team develops basically employee blogs or employee testimonials to talk about career growth at Cox, whether you're in a technology segment or in a sales segment. And some of our brand advocates were actually interviewed as well, and for some of the employee spotlights. And so, of course, they're going to jump on sharing, you know, the story that's about them, but that's also about their peers. And so we've seen that content be really helpful to share the story of Cox, but also content that the advocates are interested in. And I guess the last thing, a piece of content would be any relevant news to our industry. So we've seen some traction there, and hopefully that's helpful to anyone listening who's not sure kind of what direction you should go for content. Just think about how it can bring out your brand, whether it's from a cultural perspective or a business perspective.
Yeah. And do you see from your people on the program, the advocates, do you see them sharing? So sort of if they are recruiters or work in TA, they share more of the talent content, or if they work in sales, they share more about products and services. Is there a pattern there?
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit. You know, the recruiters who are a part of the brand advocate program are absolutely using the content in other ways. I would actually say they would take an employee spotlight about a technology position or someone who's grown their career in technology. And if they're actually recruiting for a technology role, they'll take that story, share it on their LinkedIn, but they'll also use it in some of their conversations that they're having. So kind of sourcing a little bit, you know, and keeping them warm, keeping the candidates warm. So definitely see a trend in how the content gets repurposed, is how I like to say. But yeah, absolutely. There's a little bit of a trend there.
Talk to us about the cross-divisional training on how to be a brand ambassador, because I imagine you have various departments like marketing, TA, finance, the ERGs, and so on.
One of the cross-divisional trainings that stands out to me the most that we just positioned for the advocates was the diversity and inclusion team, or the inclusion and diversity team. Yep. That was an awesome presentation to the advocates about our positioning as a company, as well as our purpose to, you know, be inclusive with different voices and different people around the company. So that was a really great training. And then we also encourage folks like from the marketing team, our marketing leader of employment brand, John Kovac. And if he listens to this, I'm sure he'll love it. But he gave a really awesome training to the advocates about storytelling. And he gave it in a way that really dug deep into his own personal story and his family and how they connect to the brand of Cox. And the advocates had raving reviews after that training, because one, it was coming from, you know, a senior leader, which is something that Cox is really good about with exposure to leaders. But two, that training was very helpful because some of the advocates don't work day to day in a marketing position. You know, some of them are in functions like in finance or something like that. And so this is an opportunity for growth for them. And so to hear from a marketing leader, I know they really enjoyed that.
I can imagine your attendees coming away and really supercharged and excited, energized from some of these sessions. The challenge might be to keep those levels throughout the year when you might not be a fantastic speaker. Is there a magic formula to that? I can imagine it would be highs and lows, just like when they come off a great talk, after that they might be super active on social, but then 2 or 3 weeks later, it's back to the daily grind.
and it's so funny you said that. I actually had a catch up call with one of the advocates who very openly said, "Hey, I have a lot going on, you know, with work and just balancing this new normal," which was totally understandable. And so we thought about the engagement levels. And so we did something very simple, Jorgen. We said, let's just have a happy hour, let's add that to the calendar for our brand advocates. It was virtual, of course, during the times, but that kind of takes the load off and just reminds them like, hey, this is a program that is fun and it's engaging. But we want to remind you that at the end of the day, this is something to do off the side of your desk, and we want you to still be engaged. And so the happy hour was fun. I mean, people were bringing in their cats and dogs on the video camera and showing all sorts of ways that they are embracing the work from home lifestyle. But you could see a resurgence even after the training that they may have had 4 weeks ago. That happy hour, just the connectivity or connection of seeing one another, was helpful. And so I would encourage anyone who's trying to figure out the best way to keep engagement with your advocates or with your employees during this time is to keep it basic by thinking of ways to stay engaged. And so the happy hour was a great opportunity for that. And we also do recognition. There's a leaderboard that we watch every week, but we update the advocates about every 2 weeks or so on how they're doing on the leaderboard. So that kind of fuels the competition of, hey, this person's sharing way more than I am. Let me get my game up a little bit. So the gamification also helps kind of charge up the engagement a little bit more.
Are there any prizes for the top spots?
Yes, actually, we have ordered some Cox swag. If the brand advocates are listening, they're going to hopefully, I won't even reveal what the prizes are in case they listen to this podcast. But yeah, we've ordered some Cox swag that will actually be shared with the advocates. We're going to be doing a quarterly roundup of so far of how the advocates have been doing. And so they will definitely be rewarded coming up soon. And then, of course, we measure across quarter to quarter, but also for the year. There will be prizes at the end to, again, congratulate the advocates and just thank them for their time. So I would definitely encourage anyone who's building their program to consider a budget for prizes. It goes a long way, even if it's a gift card, you know.
I'm just thinking for us, we're not part of the Cox organization. How will we be able to look at, say, who wins this? Is there a hashtag or will you be announcing this somewhere online?
Oh, yeah. So one of the hashtags that we've been using right now is hashtag Cox Brand Advocate. But when we do announce the winners, just take a look at if you're not already following our LinkedIn page on Cox Enterprises, take a look at that or our Instagram account when we do announce that. Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely, will do. And measuring results, I can imagine that if you're using a piece of technology, there'll be some sort of KPIs in there. It'd be interesting to know what sort of numbers you look at and also how you present that to leadership.
A couple of things we look at. So overall, the number of shares, we're able to track that through the dynamic signal tool. So basically, I can go in and say, how many times, you know, are the brand advocates sharing the content? That's one metric. But overall, we can also see number of impressions that the advocates are generating. So anytime they share a piece of content to, you know, from their LinkedIn or from their Twitter, depending on how many followers that they have and their reach, and their followers reach, the overall impressions through the tool will actually show us, you know, how the metrics and content is trending. So it's really unique to be able to see kind of how their network is building across the different months. So we always encourage them to keep adding more connections. So those would be the top metrics that we've been looking at. And then we look at it from a month to month, as well as a quarter to quarter basis. And our senior leaders are heavily engaged in how the advocates are doing. In fact, we had a campaign that was in March. It was called Behind the Code. So if you guys search the hashtag Behind the Code, hashtag Life at Cox, you'll see some of the content that went out during this campaign. And that campaign was about supporting our technology positions at Cox. And so what we had the advocates do is basically help share and bolster that content using those hashtags. And we were able to drive the overall impressions from an organic perspective of that campaign just by the advocates alone, you know, not including any of the paid ads or anything like that. And the advocates reached nearly over a million or so impressions. And that was pretty large for us, especially to kind of take a first pass at tapping the advocates to help with a specific company-wide campaign. It was really unique. So yeah, take a look at the hashtags to kind of see what that content looked like. But that's one of the ways where we measure the results, and it's been rewarding for us.
Great. And just speaking of leaders, have you managed to cajole any one of them into the program, or have they, just by seeing the success of it, have they started using hashtags and perhaps some of the same content on their own profiles?
Yes. You know, word travels fast, and it's so funny. Now that the company has this Cox Brand Advocate program, you know, folks have reached out to myself and folks on the team saying, how do I get a part of this? We do have senior leaders who have asked us to, in the meantime, present to their teams and present to their departments. And I've been able to lead some of those sessions on how to be a brand advocate. Even if you're not a part of our program, we believe that every employee at Cox is an ambassador, because you're telling the story wherever you go, more than likely. Those have been rewarding metrics, even though they're not quantitative. Those have been rewarding metrics that other leaders have seen, you know, the work that we're doing and would like us to present to them. And so we've done that, and we will continue to have more of those this year. So it's been great to see the engagement.
I can imagine this brand advocate program, it's not just for employer brand. I mean, I guess it helps marketing and corporate communications, PR and so on. How much of the value can you attribute to employer brand, and how much would be to all the other stakeholders?
We have had, and I'll shout them out here too, the corporate communications team for Cox Enterprises is an incredible team. While I'm on the employment brand team and marketing, I partner heavily with the internal communications team, and they are great partners. And the PR team as well. You know, one of the areas that we've been able to partner a lot and kind of help one another is on even some of the employee engagement campaigns that the internal comms team runs. So, you know, just imagine or think about an engagement opportunity internally that we had. It was related to some of the investments that Cox was making and wanting the employees to be involved in that, and esports, for example, and those different niche areas. We help the internal comms team by sharing that news with the brand advocates, and they're like the first ones to sign up for, you know, campus events, you know, when we were on campus. So they really appreciate that partnership, and it gets the word out internally. And then with PR, the PR team also does a great job with sharing news and opportunities for the company, as well as for the advocates to be a part of. And so if, you know, anyone listening, if you are figuring out ways to partner with those other teams, I would absolutely come to the table, you know, in those meetings with what you can offer as a partner and how you can help them and their goals as well. And it should create a really frictionless, it might be friction at first, I don't know, but it will create a frictionless partnership for sure.
Great. So what would be your best words of advice to our listeners who are perhaps thinking about setting up a brand advocacy program?
Several things come to mind, but I think the top thing that I would share with listeners would be, if you can take a pulse of your employees. And maybe that's through different employee surveys or feedback. And even looking at things like Glassdoor reviews, you learn pretty quickly. You learn pretty quickly. And this is something that our team is really good about doing. You learn pretty quickly that people want to be heard. And this is just an opportunity to provide an outlet for employee voices. So I would just say, if you believe that you are in a place where you are comfortable with that voice of your employee, and of course, putting, you know, the company behind it to support it, I would encourage you to just go for it and don't worry about everything being super neat. Because I'll admit, getting started with the Brand Advocate Program, you know, it was a lot of learning curves. Yeah. Especially, you know, with us expanding it. It was the first time we expanded it. So listen to your employees, find out what the trend is as far as their voices and what they want to share, and then just go for it with the program, with launching it, and it'll grow over the years. You'll see it grow. So that'd be my best piece of advice for now.
Fantastic. And most people, well, everyone on this podcast who I interview, they're super excited about the job and the role that they have. What is it that makes your role or your job so special?
This is a good question too. What makes my role special? It would definitely be the opportunity that I get to partner with different folks. And that might sound a little cliche, you know, it's the people, but I really do mean that. Employment Brand is very much about building relationships. And I would say that I have been able to successfully cultivate those across the company and build, you know, a level of influence where my opinion and ideas are trusted. So I would say that's probably the special thing about my job, is just the relationship building and then, you know, the trust and the influence that has come out of that.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, it's the I think these sorts of roles are definitely the place to be if you're a people person, if you want to connect with lots of stakeholders, lots of departments, but you want to be the spider in the web, you're in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Where can our listeners learn more about the Brand Advocacy Program of Cox? And Brianna, where can they connect with yourself?
Sure. So I encourage any of our listeners to search for the hashtag Cox Brand Advocate. And you are more than welcome to follow them on LinkedIn as they build their connections and network. And then, of course, follow Cox Enterprises. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Connect more. Follow us and connect more with us on the things that we're doing and in the environment and, you know, in the technology today. I think you guys will really enjoy learning about the company. We're very vast when it comes to the divisions. So take a look at that. And as far as connecting with me, I'm also on LinkedIn as well, and you can connect with me there. And, you know, I also do on the side, I help people with career coaching and personal branding and resume writing. And so if you go to resumesbybrianna.com, that's another way you can connect with me if you need help in that area or have a friend that wants help in that area.
Yeah, that's super topical right now. So that's brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, Brianna, and do come back on the podcast very soon.
Thank you. This is great. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, there you have it. Many thanks again to Brianna for sharing these fantastic insights. And if you're running an advocacy program, please get in touch. I'd love to hear how that's working out for you in tandem with Employer Brand. If you would like to subscribe to this podcast, you can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Apple, Spotify, and all the other usual places. And if you are interested in measuring your company's reputation as an employer, might I just suggest the Employer Brand Index, which is our approach for doing exactly that. So we work with global companies who really want to figure out where they stand with candidates, employees, and alumni across 16 different attributes that make up the employer brand. Check that out at employerbrandindex.co, or feel free to reach out to me and I'll happily talk you through it. That was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and look forward to catching up next time. Hey, doll.